You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side, co-hosting with Graziano Marcheschi, director of lay ministry formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Graz, I cut it rather close this morning.
How'd you get that big coffee stain on your nice beige sweater there?
I thought an extra minute or two, leisurely going down to get a cup of coffee, and realizing as I'm running down, the producer, Jim Dish, thought I locked myself in the outer coffee area.
Well, I'm sorry you made it. I had a couple of jokes I was going to tell about you.
While we're waiting in the interim. Well, good morning to our listeners here on Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. on this cold, sunny Friday morning in Chicago. They're talking today's high about 18 degrees, and tomorrow 36, and Super Bowl Sunday 40 degrees.
40 degrees.
On Sunday. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. We have a wonderful program lined up. And with us via the phone, we have Father Jordan Kelly, the director of the Office of Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Father Jordan Kelly, welcome to Catholic Community Faith. Good morning, Jordan.
It's great to be with you, Father Greg and Graz. How are you doing today?
Very well. Good to have you here.
Great to have you on the program. And for our listeners to know that Father Jordan Kelly and Cardinal Francis George will be leading three visits for evangelization scheduled in the Archdiocese to inform Catholics about evangelization efforts and to receive their input. Cardinal George will offer comments on the 12th Ordinary General Assembly of the Synod of Bishops and its theme, The Word of God and the Life and Mission of the Church, that took place in Rome in October of 2008. Father Jordan, explain for our listeners the why of these three evangelization sessions.
No, before you start, Jordan, visits conjures the image of the three magi coming up, so I think you need a third person in your party.
Jordan, the Holy Spirit.
Father Jordan, Cardinal George, and the Holy Spirit. There you go. Right.
That is good.
Right.
We're pretty clever, Graz, this morning.
Hey, yeah.
A lot of caffeine.
It's got to be the cold.
Yeah,
it's the caffeine.
It's the Starbucks coffee. It's better than this archdiocesan brew.
Right.
All right, I'm sorry. On to more important things.
Sure. Great. Now, these visits came out of, actually, the success that we had with the Cardinals' visits after the Holy Father's visit to America. And we had vicariate visits throughout the Archdiocese, where the Cardinal spoke to the faithful about Pope Benedict XVI's visit to America and what it was like for the Cardinal to travel with him throughout that visit. And
those were well-received by the faithful, wasn't
it? Oh, very, extremely. Mm-hmm. You know, I was at two of the three gatherings, and, the one that I was at St. John Vianney in Northlake, the church was filled to overflowing capacity.
Wow.
And at another one that we had on a very warm Friday evening, we had over 650 people in a school auditorium. So it was really great. They were very, very well received.
So really out of those three visits with
came
the Cardinal,
the idea
came
for
this idea.
You know, it's one of the Cardinal's great concerns and emphases is the entire work of evangelization. And he has a tremendous, tremendous desire and really a driving force that the Archdiocese of Chicago become a very evangelizing place, and is very, very concerned about that. And often looks at me and he goes, well, how many parishes are we at now, you know? And he has this tremendous desire that evangelization really ignite a great fire in the hearts of all of our believers and in all of our parishes.
Well, I do know, Jordan, that the Cardinal really enjoys visiting the parishes.
Oh, he loves it.
And he loves meeting the people. Mm-hmm. But for our listeners, mm-hmm. define the word evangelization. I say that because we have a history in the Catholic Church where the word evangelization really rubs Catholics the wrong way. They think in terms of evangelization of door-to-door mm-hmm. Bible thumping and are you saved and is Jesus your Savior? And when you ask people to be part of an evangelization team, they say, that's not for me. But if Catholics know it or not, when you are doing the work of the Lord, even more by example than by
exactly.
word, that's evangelization.
Absolutely.
But now, in your own terms, how do you define evangelization for our listeners?
Sure. What, you know, I look to the writings of Pope John Paul II and again of Pope Benedict XVI. And what you see when you talk about evangelization is it's first of all a very personal grace of the Holy Spirit by which we respond to the gospel completely and without compromise. And then that taking place in our lives becomes something that people see and they want to have it. So evangelization becomes living the good news in my life. And as I live it, other people want to share in it. But what happens in that evangelization, Father Greg and Gratz, is that it becomes contagious because our lives become changed by the gospel. And as the Cardinal George will always say, the gospel has been rearticulated to the people. So it's my experience of the gospel and then how people see my living of it.
You know, Jordan, I'm on my parish pastoral council, and one of the issues that we deal with a lot are the Catholics in the parish who don't attend.
Right.
You know, many. Most parishes probably have more people who only show up once or twice a year than those who show up regularly. Mm-hmm. So the question we ask ourselves is, of course, we understand the importance of living the faith on a day-to-day basis and the witness and the attraction that creates. But we also, have been focusing on how can we be more proactive? How can we draw those people who probably would respond to an invitation to come and check out the parish and, experience the life of our community. What suggestions do you give to parishes for proactive kinds of efforts to reach out to those unchurched people?
Sure. I always talk about it, Greg, in four main ways. Welcome, worship, learning, and service. First of all, that when people come to the parish or they call the parish or talk to the priest, that they receive a real spirit of welcome when they make that initial contact. So that a parish is a place of welcome. That worship really is the center of the community, that it brings the community together and everything flows out of it, as we know from the Second Vatican Council. But that within worship, what the people really find is of course the encounter with the Lord in His Word and in His sacrament, but that the Word of God is broken open for them in such a way in the preaching that they are both fed and challenged and consoled to live the gospel in their life. And then that worship gives way to learning. How are we helping our folks really know the faith, adult formation, full parish catechesis, and then worship and learning together. What we've received freely, we give freely as a gift, and that goes out into service and into the works of justice. And then that full kind of continuum brings us right back to the center, so that if people come seeking in a parish, if they find welcome, life-giving worship, education, for the whole, shall we say, family, and then works of service, you're going to have the people right there.
You know, Greg's going to move us to a break in just a second, but when we come back, I'm going to push you a little bit on that, Jordan, because the first one, welcome, you can only welcome people who've already come. So what I'd like you to help us understand is how can you get people to show up?
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
Great.
Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackles, along with Graziano Marcheschi. Our guest is Father Jordan Kelly, the Director of the Office of Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Stay with us and do not touch that dial.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
If you're a young person aged 13 to 30, you're invited to the Bread of Life Retreat. It's scheduled for February 27th to March 1st at St. Benedict's Parish on West Irving Park Road in Chicago.
Join hundreds of young people for 3 days of prayer, adoration, singing, and learning more about our Catholic faith. Cardinal Francis George and Bishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra will be present to celebrate Mass and speak to our youth.
This Eucharistic-centered retreat will transform youth from being passive Christians to being active disciples of Jesus Christ.
Visit our website at www.breadoflifechicago.org or call 773-588-6484 for more information.
That's www.breadoflifechicago.org or call 773-588-6484.
Register today and be part of the Bread of Life retreat that will open hearts and change lives.
I realize, Groff, that Brian Brock now does voiceover commercials for Relevant Radio. Very good. Father Greg Sackles along with Graziano Marcheschi on Relevant Radio 950 on this beautiful, cold Friday morning in Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Jumping on the conversation, how do you define evangelization as your parish and evangelizing community? What do you see as some of the issues regarding evangelizations that could maybe be better done? Nothing we learn from laity, we learn from each other. And I'm going to turn it over to Graz again to kind of push Father Jordan here.
Jordan, you gave us a wonderful formula, welcome, worship, learning, and gift, I think was the
service.
Service. But I think there's an antecedent problem, and that is getting people to show up. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it crazy to think about strategies like ads in newspapers or billboards, to tell people we're here, our doors are open, we would welcome you, come join us?
No, Gratz, absolutely not. I mean, I think we've, as a church, we've been shy in that regard, and we need to get the word out that we're there. One of the great things would be, the neighborhood mailers. As new people move into your neighborhood, Father Nick Desmond talked about this at a program last week. You can get these listings of everybody new who's moving into your neighborhood, and mm-hmm. to send them just a letter of welcome. Hello, so glad you've moved into our neighborhood. We're the Catholic Church in your neighborhood. If you're looking for a Catholic parish, here we are. If you don't have a church home, know that you are most welcome with us, and give the times of your masses and where you're located. And people respond to that. People take note of the fact that they may get letters from every Protestant church in the neighborhood, but not from a Catholic church.
You know, right. Jordan, I have to share this with you, and that is... I was talking with Graz during the break. At St. Mary of the Woods, I've really raised it with the parish council that, why are we, losing people, people who were once very active, mm-hmm. you no longer see. And I'm talking wonderful, wonderful people who would say they are faith-filled but no longer connect. And I've actually started the last couple of years asking people, saying, hey, haven't seen you for a while.
Right.
And inevitably, I can't catch them off guard, and it's not my goal, but they'll say, geez, we've just been so busy.
Right. One of the biggest reasons I found out that people come away or drift away from the church is that they simply get out of the practice.
Yeah.
But when I was a pastor in Baltimore, and I was the pastor as a layman, it was before I was ordained, of a rather vibrant parish community, I would do that exact same thing, Greg, and it was to the point that people would call and say, you know, Jordan, I'm not going to be at Mass this weekend because we're going away. And it wasn't so much that they had a sense that somebody was keeping roll, but that somebody cared,
yeah,
and that their presence mattered.
But I think part of it, Jordan, is people's lives have truly become so busy that I call it now the changing face of Sunday, with all these sports practices going on.
Oh, yeah.
But I truly believe that if a family can give up something on a weekend, they give up Mass. They give up liturgy because it's one less thing.
We have to reclaim Sunday as a day for family and day
yes.
for the Lord. It's a real culture shock and a real culture change that we're up against there. That's why, you know, it's a very great policy in our archdiocese that no athletic practice can be held until after 1 o'clock.
Yeah, and really find in people's lives. But here's the thing, though. When someone says to you, I've been so busy, what they're really saying is it's no longer a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, as busy as people can be, they do find time for things they want to find time for.
Right.
That's how we are built.
And I think people have bought into this mindset that worship on Sunday is optional.
Right.
I mean, obviously, those of us who are older grew up at a time when that was not an option, and, you know, you feared for your soul if you missed Mass on Sunday. But people do not come out of that mindset any longer.
No, they don't, because everything has become an option.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, we had a dinner discussion about a month ago at the rectory, and I'm with Father Leo Mann and Father Don Headley and Father Tom Maher and Father Kurt Boris. I live with three retired priests, so I always tell people I collect retired priests as a hobby. And they're great guys to live with, wonderful staff. And Father Don Headley made a great comment. We're talking about, do I want to be at Mass on Sunday or do I have to? And so I always say, well, growing up, I wanted to be. And he said, no, I have to be at liturgy. I have to be at liturgy. And I thought, I always think in terms of have to. Do I want to or have to? He says, because it's part of who I am.
Amen.
It's part of who I am.
And it's part of what I owe to the rest of the community. See,
that's right.
We live in such an individualistic society that we think it's all about me. And whether it means something to me, whether it does something for me, we forget that our presence does something for the rest of the community and that they need us to be part of the body. When we're missing, part of the body is missing. And so,
but they don't see it that way.
They don't. No, they don't. And that's why they think it's an option.
So when you have a family gathering and someone is not there due to death, loss of a loved one, they couldn't get there because of a snowstorm, that gathering is different because so-and-so isn't there.
Amen.
And you're absolutely right when someone's not there. In fact, Father Leo Mann, we had a newcomer's dinner about 6-7 years ago. He had a line that really stopped me in my tracks. He said, if everybody stopped going to church, the whole thing dies.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of it that way. I mean, you can still have your belief in the Lord, but if everyone stopped going, the whole thing dies because the centrality of Eucharist as we gather around the table of the Lord.
Absolutely. The other thing that when I taught sacramental theology that to high school kids that I always talked about when we came to this whole issue of, you know, attending Mass on Sunday, I said, you know, it comes out of the whole commandment and the precept of the church to honor the Lord's Day. Just doesn't come out of a sense of do this or you're in trouble, but it also comes out of our need to be with other people who believe as we believe and to
Amen.
Support us in that, and that we gain strength from one another. I said, so look at the obligation to attend Mass as something that you're doing for yourself that's healthy and good. And, you know, the more I said that and the more I talked about it, I could see my students sitting back and, like, beginning to, you know, how you begin to see a light bulb go on in a student's head. And they thought, you know, it became a whole new way to look at it. And when you look at it in that kind of freedom, I think it does lead us to the place, you know, Greg, that you talked about, that I want to be there. I have to be there because this is such a part of my life.
You know, many times I will gather with couples engaged to be married, and many of them are not at that point in their lives going to church. They were raised in families in which they had to go. Now they reach college age, their 20s. I don't feel like I want to go. And I say to them, you ask the question, why go to Mass on Sunday? Why be part of a community, which I think are excellent questions? And I say simply, it's a way to express, nourish, and strengthen my relationship, our relationship with the Lord. And I say on a very practical example, take your own relationship as you are engaged. You have ways of expressing, nourishing, and strengthening your relationship that has brought you to this point. You'll spend the next 50, 60 years, God willing, expressing, nourishing, and strengthening. And what happens when people divorce? Ways of expressing, nourishing, and strengthening that relationship, those ways begin to die. So I tell people, you know, can you pray in the car? Sure. Walk in the woods? Sure. But it's not the same as gathering weekly around the table of the Lord to be nourished by the Word of God and then Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, and we now leave those exit doors to go live it.
Right.
That's the heart of it for me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Father Donald Neary, Irish Jesuit, has said, you know, yes, you can experience God in the beauty of nature on the mountaintop, but you won't hear there, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the poor. You won't hear the last shall be first. You won't hear life comes through death. You know, we need to gather with the community to hear that gospel and to see it lived and enacted.
We need to gather for the Eucharist, the food that gives us strength for to live
exactly
this way.
On the journey. Jordan, have the dates been set with the Cardinal around the Archdiocese?
Yes. The first one is this Saturday, tomorrow, at St. Mary's in Lake Forest. Mm-hmm. They all begin at 9:30 on a Saturday, and they'll be done by 11:30.
Okay.
So tomorrow, January the 31st at St. Mary's Lake Forest, February the 21st at St. Giles in Oak Park,
okay,
and Saturday, February the 28th at Rosary Hill Retreat House in Justice, Illinois, as part of the Evangelization Institute of the Archdiocese.
Do you have a phone number people could contact to learn more about it?
Absolutely. 312-534-5353.
That number once again.
312-534-5353.
Well, keep up your great work, Jordan, and maybe somebody will send us $1 million to put up some billboards.
Oh,
and,
let's
you know,
pray for it.
Make some big noise to let people know the good news of this faith community here in Chicago.
You've got it. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Keep up the great work, Father Jordan, and you're listening to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Zakowicz, along with Gratino Marcheschi. 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Cardinal George tells bishops from across the nation that our society must protect the right to life if the common good is to be served. We'll talk to the Cardinal about the fall meeting of U.S. bishops, and we'll shine a spotlight on Spanish ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago as we highlight recent Hispanic Catholic services and events. Thanks for joining us for this latest edition of the Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your archdiocese.
It's time to sign up for Parish Leadership Evangelization Day 2009. It will be held Saturday, February 7th, at Maria High School on South California Avenue in Chicago.
Choose from more than 90 workshops presented in English, Spanish, and Polish. Workshops will deal with everyday problems faced by most parishes, raising funds, improving bulletins, increasing participation.
And Cardinal George will once again answer your questions during a lively and entertaining box lunch visit with attendees.
So go to our website at www.artchicago.org for all the details, or call 312-534-8364.
That's www.artchicago.org or 312-534-8364.
If you want to become more active in your parish, Parish Leadership Evangelization Day is the place to be on February 7th.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Time is 9:25 on this cold, sunny day here in Chicago.
Can you believe we're one full month into the new year?
Would you believe, Graz, Christmas was 5 weeks ago yesterday?
It's unbelievable.
5 weeks ago yesterday, and Sunday is February. You're right. Where has January gone? But as people say to me, each day gets us one day closer to spring. And but
I
even,
thought you were
going
to say gift, one day closer to our
Super Bowl.
Eternal life.
Well, I hope there's many days to go.
One day closer to the Super Bowl. That's a nicer way to look at it.
You're such an up guy on a Friday.
No, hey, I'm looking forward to eternal life, so that doesn't worry me.
Well, yeah, you trust in the Lord. And God is loving and forgiving.
Amen. Eternal spring.
That's right. The eternal spring from death to life. From even happens in nature, happens with our lives.
Yep.
We have with us on phone Joyce DeRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Joyce, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you. Good morning. Were you just talking about the Super Bowl?
Of course.
We try not to, but, you know, it just slips out once in a while.
Are you a football fan?
My Steelers are in the Super Bowl, so I'm really excited.
Let's skip talking about the Catholic New World. And what are your thoughts about
that? Why are they yours?
Are you from Pittsburgh?
Yes.
All right.
I have to admit, do you remember the teams from the 70s, the Steel Curtain?
Well, I was born in 74, so.
Yeah, I was born in 74.
Oh, sure, just rub that in our faces.
Holy mackerel, you're very, very young.
I got married.
Let me ask you this.
I got married in 74.
Wow.
You're talking to two old men here, Joyce.
Respect your elders here,
Joyce,
young lady.
What's your prediction for Sunday's game?
Oh, I'm praying that they win, but I'm getting nervous because everybody's picking them and rooting for them, and they're much better as underdogs, so.
Well, but the Steelers have a tremendous defense, and the Cardinals have a great offense.
Yeah. And they have Catholic owners.
The line is 70. Yeah, the Rooneys are a very devout Catholic family. It should be a good game, and you know, it's a way to gather with friends and family and a lot of pizza, and it's just hopefully it's a good game and not a blowout.
You know, Father Greg has always really wanted to be a sportscaster.
I did. If I had not, that's true. But when I was in high school and grammar school, I wanted to be a play-by-play announcer.
See?
But the Lord had
other plans,
and I'm very happy that I responded to the gift of the Lord of priesthood, and I get to enjoy both. I'm calling play-by-play for God. So on that line, well, let's see, go Steelers, go Cardinals, and Joyce, what's happening in the Catholic New World with the latest issue coming up?
We've got a center spread on Mundelein. It's 100 years that the town is celebrating its anniversary, so we wanted to look at the connection between the name of the town, obviously Mundelein, and Cardinal Mundelein, and that connection. It wasn't always named Mundelein, but after he was named Cardinal and did a lot of stuff for the area with that, and then the Eucharistic Congress and stuff that was out there, and split between there and Soldier Field, so they named it Mundelein. And so we take a look at the history of the town, the history.
Now, when you said 100 years old,
do you know what it was called before it was called Mundelein?
I do.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you actually said it in the last sentence. You said it. The word.
Area.
Oh, that's right, because it's an acronym for something.
It was called Area, Illinois. And when you said 100 years for what now, Joyce?
The formation of the town, not for the name on the town, but for the formation of the town, because it was also called Rockefeller at some point.
I think it was a long time ago, but I know the Eucharistic Congress was held in June of 19... 19- 24, I want to say 1926.
I
think it was 26, the Eucharistic Congress. And they said there were over 1 million people on the grounds of Mundelein Seminary mm-hmm. for the Eucharistic procession around the lake in a driving rainstorm.
Mm.
And
wow.
I've seen pictures of the Eucharistic Congress, the liturgy at Soldier Field. They said mm-hmm. over a quarter of a million in attendance. It's just a staggering number. And so the center is the addition to remembering Cardinal Mundelein. Remember, when he built the seminary, he wanted the largest seminary in the West.
Yes.
And it's a tremendous, of course, the doors opened up in
September
1920.
He wanted it to be the Catholic University of America.
That is correct.
That was his original plan.
They kind of put the skid for that. Yeah.
And our engineer said that I was ordained by Cardinal Mundelein, who died in 1939. That's very nice, Brian. I remember that. And what else is happening? What else is happening in the upcoming issue, Joyce?
We've got a colleges and universities issue where it's a supplement where people can find out what colleges and universities are in the area and open to their students. It's going to be an extended circulation that goes to high schools and stuff to help out the parents. We also have a wonderful story about West Humble Park at Our Lady of the Angels Mission with Father Bob Lombarda. They just dedicated the new Kelly Hall. They renovated it, and it's a partnership with the Archdiocese, the YMCA, and the Food Depository to take what used to be the parish center for Our Lady of the Angels, as you know, with the fire and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're making it a community center that's someplace for the kids and the seniors to go. So that's great work going on there. And Father Bob's always looking for volunteers and people to help out. So people can check out that story, maybe Google Our Lady of the Angels Mission. They have a website. And then, as always, we have Cardinal George in there. And he's talking about marriage and questions he's posed to the Archdiocese and Pastoral Council and feedback he's gotten and tips for parishes on what maybe they can do to help reinforce marriages and help build up marriages. And
well, that's a critical issue in the life of our community.
Much.
Yeah,
you know, getting back to the Our Lady of the Angels, when you mentioned about the pantry and the work over there, of course we remember that on December 1st, 1958, was a tragic fire at Our Lady of the Angels. And I was at a wedding reception about 5 or 6 years ago. I was at a table. I didn't know anybody, so we started talking. And we started talking about the Our Lady of the Angels fire at the table. And halfway through the discussion, a guy who was about my age, and I'm 55, said, "Could we please change the subject?"
Uh-huh.
He said, "I was an eighth grader in that fire."
Hmm.
And we became silent at the table. We apologized. He said, "No, don't apologize." But he said, "I'd rather not talk about it." And so the horrific memories that live on with the survivors, with families that lost loved ones. So, you know, even though it was over 50 years ago, it's so etched in our minds because of the horrific proportion of the tragedy. So I just had to share that with you. And so anything else happening beside the Cardinals column and the other is Father Ronald Rollheiser's column in this week?
He's in this week. Of course, we've got Father Rocky and Father Tad, and then
Father
Paziak. Pardon me?
Father Mark Paziak.
He's in it all the time?
Oh, yeah, every week.
Yes, and then we have a story about the Vatican. They started their own YouTube channel. I don't know if you gentlemen have talked about that at all, but that's exciting. And they've got their own channel, and there's clips on it every day updated with the Holy Father, so that's fun.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Well, if somebody wants to subscribe to the Catholic New World, can you give us a phone number, Joyce?
I can give you the website. I'm in
sure.
My... have the phone number. Hey, you know what? I'll give you my phone number.
Okay.
312-534-7577.
That number once again.
312-534-7577.
And how about the web?
It's CatholicNewWorld.com.
Hey, have you guys done anything on the Quigley and Meyer Centers yet?
We have. We did a story when they were both dedicated, and we had a picture couple weeks ago, or last issue, with the Cardinal consecrating the altar up at down at our place, down at Meyer.
Oh, great, great.
So. So I want to thank in a very special way Joyce DeRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World, for joining us here on this Friday morning, and the time in Chicago is straight up on 9:34. 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after break. Have a great weekend, Joyce.
Thank you, you too.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago, here on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
We have a new governor in the state of Illinois.
As of this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask Joyce if the New World was going to do any coverage of that. I guess that's not part of their agenda. But
I'm sure it'll be somewhere in there.
It's certainly a significant event in the life of this state.
Well, it's made national world news. Yeah. And I'm sure it'll be covered.
It's obviously something that had to happen. The only thing that saddens me is the ridiculing tone of much of the coverage. Even this morning's headlines, you know, bye-bye Blago. Yeah. It's like, you know. It seems beneath the dignity of a major metropolitan newspaper to do headlines like that. But clearly, you know, he abused his office.
59-0.
To zero, yeah.
And it, so then we hope we can now move forward and just start with a new era in some ways. We have with us on phone Joycelyn King, the director of the Religious Education Program for St. Dorothy Parish in Chicago. And Joycelyn King will talk about the African American Heritage Mass at Holy Name Cathedral next Tuesday, February 3rd at 9:30. And children from our Catholic schools will attend this Mass. And Joycelyn is the liturgy chairperson for the Mass, and her husband first started this annual event several years ago. Joycelyn, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Joycelyn, it says several years ago. Specifically, how long have you been involved with this?
Well, this is our 31st celebration.
Now, hold it. Time out. You've been involved with 31 of them?
No, I have not. When my husband began to work with this, there were principals from the different Catholic schools on the committee, and so I was very much a behind-the-scenes person, you know, for him. But in 1991 was when I began to myself be personally involved with the overseeing of the liturgy.
And so now this is a yearly liturgy, because I know that we celebrate African American Heritage Month in February.
Yes.
And so it kicks off with the liturgy. So since 1991, you've been directly involved with the liturgy at Holy Name Cathedral.
Yes.
And how many annually come to this liturgy?
Well, when we had more young people in our schools, we would have as many as 1,500.
So, which means the cathedral was packed.
Yes.
And what did you
sometimes
have?
Sometimes there would just be standing room only.
What did you have last year? roughly?
Last year, I would say between 900 and 1,000.
Well, that's a tremendous number. And just really at St. Dorothy Parish, how many in your school and in the program?
That attend the Mass?
Mm-hmm.
We will have going this year approximately 50 young people because 20 of those are in the choir, and then we have some liturgical dancers, and we have a speaker. So we will have about 50 going from our school.
Now, again, at the cathedral, for let listeners know, it's Tuesday, February 3rd, 9:30 in the morning at Holy Name Cathedral, and the presider will be Cardinal Francis George?
No. The presider will be Reverend David Jones, who is...
Oh, sure.
You know him.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yes. Everybody knows Father David Jones.
Yes.
Great priest.
No, unfortunately...
Former rector of this building that we're sitting in right now, the
former Quigley Seminary.
Yeah.
Oh, is that where you're located?
Yep. Yes.
Oh, okay.
We're no longer at 155 East Superior. We're now at the former Quigley Preparatory Seminary in the lower level, new, beautiful radio studio.
Wonderful. I hope that at some point you'll have an open house for us.
There you go. That's a great idea.
I'll talk to the producer about that when we get off the air. So tell us.
Do you think that the recent election of President Obama will impact the celebration this year?
Well, it's been very exciting for us as African Americans to have the first African American president. It will be a part of what we do. It will be part of our excitement.
Mm-hmm.
But our liturgy will go on as usual.
Well, the thing is now, is Father David Jones also the homilist or the presider?
He is the presider.
Who's preaching?
Deacon Andrew Smith.
In fact, he'll be ordained a priest come May.
He will be ordained.
Now, here's a story for you, Dorothy. When I was at Niles College Seminary of Loyola University from 85 to 92, I recruited Deacon Andrew Smith to the college seminary. And then he came to Niles College, I think graduated, took some time off, and then came back to Mundelein Seminary and will be ordained a priest in May. He's a wonderful young man.
Yes, we're very excited about him because he brings with him much experience that I believe the young people can identify with.
Exactly.
That's an interesting story about timing. You know, it's all about being in the right place at the right time. I mean, if you recruited him that many years ago, it's certainly been a long journey towards priesthood.
Right.
But this obviously must be the right time, and before wasn't quite right
and
yet.
And sometimes for a young man entering the seminary, you enter, you say, not now, but somehow I believe in the calling from God. And if you're open to that call, and if you were ordained in 1989 or 2009, that's okay.
Yes.
Because the timing has to be there. Now, let me ask you this, Dorothy. In all the years you've been involved with the liturgy at Holy Name Cathedral for celebration of African American Heritage Month with the liturgy, does any story come to mind about a child's response to you, like, this is great, or it's been etched in their mind forever?
Well, the most edifying thing for me is that our students begin to attend this Mass when they're in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they go on to high school, they approach their campus minister and say, we'd like to go to this Mass. And so young people who've never been or schools that have never participated then begin to come. And what we've seen over the years is that we have schools that come in from the outlying suburbs, you know, that never mm-hmm. came before.
That's excellent. Wow. Yeah. And that's because of the word of mouth spread by the students who've been there as young kids.
Right. And as they grow up, then they move out, and then their children begin to attend other schools. And they remember that we went to this as a young person, and we'd like our children to experience it.
That's perfect.
So you have a case in which you've been doing this for so many years that a child who started this in eighth grade would now be coming back to it with their own children.
Yes.
Wow, that must make you feel a lot younger.
I can think of our deacons. Daughter who went to school at St. Dorothy, I believe, and attended this Mass. And now she has a child attending St. Dorothy.
Well, we were talking about evangelization earlier, and this certainly is one great example of how we evangelize. Well, Joycelyn, we need to move to a break, so we thank you for this. But before we go, is there a phone number that people can call if they're interested in participating in this liturgy?
Yes, they can reach me at either St. Dorothy, which is 773-651-7000.
The number once again?
773-651-7000.
And this liturgy once again is next Tuesday, February 3rd, at 9:30 a.m.
Yes.
At Holy Name Cathedral.
And will we be seeing you there?
Well, now that's a good question.
You should come and hear Deacon Smith. We're very excited about him.
I feel good on my calendar.
My calendar allowing, I'll be there.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
So we're going to move to a break. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. We're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Are you pro-life? Do you want to connect with like-minded individuals and learn more about changing the culture? Join us on Saturday, January 31st for Speak Out Illinois' Rekindle the Fire, an annual conference sponsored by more than 30 pro-life groups from across the state of Illinois. Father Tom Eitenauer, president of Human Life International, will engage the audience as he reports on the fight for life around the world. Hear the moving testimony of Dr. Alveda King, niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and director of African American Outreach for Gospel of Life. A separate conference for teens will also be offered. For questions or to register, call Illinois Right to Life at 312-422-9300 or go to www.speakoutillinois.org. We hope to see you on Saturday, January 31st at 9 a.m. for Speak Out Illinois.
Democracy is a wonderful thing. But how many of us really take part in exercising the freedoms we are so blessed to have in this country? Now here's your chance to let your voice be heard.
Wednesday, March 4th is Catholics at the Capitol Day. The Catholic Conference of Illinois invites you to join hundreds of Catholics in Springfield as we talk to lawmakers about key faith-based issues.
Let's push for legislation to decrease abortions, protect traditional marriage, support Catholic charities, hospitals, and nursing homes, and to get our Catholic schools the financial support they deserve.
1,000 Catholic school children, Cardinal George, our bishops, clergy, and laity will descend on Springfield. Join us.
Visit CatholicConferenceOfIllinois.org or call 312-368-1066 for details. That's CatholicConferenceOfIllinois.org or 312-368-1066.
We hope to see you in Springfield on Wednesday, March 4th for Catholics at the Capitol Day. Let's live our democracy.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. Time is 9:48 on this sunny, cold, blustery day in Chicago, but a few days from now will be February, which means more cold and probably more,
more snow.
Graz, I have a question before we get to Marcia Berry, and that is, a few people have been asking me about the Called and Gifted program. Just in a real quick synopsis, what is Called and Gifted through your office for the Archdiocese?
Well, I'm glad they asked you that question. A program training parish volunteers, people who are already contributing to the life of their parish, giving them basic theological and pastoral skills. So they learn about scripture, they learn about church history, they learn about sacraments. And in addition to weekly classes, which we offer at three different sites in the Archdiocese, there are also monthly formation days, a full day from 9 to 3:30 up at gorgeous Mundelein Seminary. Includes a meal and, you know, it's prayer and just wonderful experiences. People always talk about it as a transformative experience.
And Called and Gifted is a commitment for how long of a program?
It's a two-year program, so one night a week, one about one Saturday a month for 2 years.
But they do not meet in summer?
Not in the summer. time off at Christmas, and they learn about their faith, and they become more confident and really more competent to continue to provide volunteer leadership in their parish.
And if somebody wanted to learn more about the program, give us a number for you.
Hey, call 847-837-4554.
The number once again.
847-837-4554. Or they can email what's
okay.
It? It's Lay
Do you know your wife's name?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Layministry@usml.edu.
Okay.
Layministry@usml.edu.
Okay, congrats. No more tricky questions.
Good thing it's the radio and they can't see me blushing here. But the other thing we do, we also do this program called Together in God's Service, and we've been doing a special recruitment among the Polish-American community and have been very successful. We provide full scholarship for people who are bilingual from the Polish community, and
okay, we'll talk more about that later. We're going to go right to the phones
here. Thank you for asking.
Thank you. You're very welcome, Gratz. Thank you. Marcia Berry, who is one of the organizers of the Solemn Vespers service at St. Jude Thaddeus Catholic Church in Chicago, which will be held on Monday, February 9th. Marcia, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Doing very well, Marcia.
Hey, Marcia, it's good to talk to you. Do you know Marcia is an exceptional musician?
Well, thank you very much.
You are.
It's a gift.
Now, how do you know Marcia?
Oh, we've worked together many times at diocesan events.
Yeah.
What is the name of your group? I'm sorry. Your performance group.
Oh, the Ngoma Group.
The Ngoma Group.
Yes, we're performing at the DuSaba Museum on February the 8th.
They are dynamite.
Now, what do you play, Marcia?
Well, I'm a vocalist.
Oh.
But my major thing is music education in the schools.
Well, that is terrific. Well, tell us about this Solemn Vesper service on Monday, February 9th. What is happening?
Well, I belong to the Bishop Perry Liturgical Institute, which was started by Bishop Perry several years ago to inform.
You've got a very creative name then, the Bishop Perry Institute.
Boy, it's pretty cool to be alive and have something named after you.
I'm impressed.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
But that was our suggestion, not
that is well.
I'm sure.
Much deserved.
Okay, and what we do is we inform, especially Black Catholics, about what is going on liturgically. So every year, what we have done is we have sponsored a solemn Vesper service. And we use Vespers. One of the reasons we use it is because that is a little known in our community mm-hmm. liturgical celebration. Instead of being a Mass, this is the Vesper service. And we call Black Catholics together, or anyone else that would like to attend, to celebrate who and whose we are.
And Vespers is part of the prayer, official prayer of the Catholic Church.
Yes.
And now to let people know about how long does the Vespers service last? Because people think, well, is this some four-hour service? Which, of course, it's not. How long is it?
Well, you know what? We understand that since it's a Monday night and we are inviting people out, we provide them a meal. And that begins at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a meal, and then the service begins at 7 o'clock and generally ends between 8:30 and 9.
Okay, I think it's good people to know that at about 8:30 or 9. And how many years has this solemn Vesper service been happening?
This is our sixth year.
And have you been involved with all of them so far, Marcia?
Yes, I have. We started this, like I said, 6 years ago, and we have given it in several different. It's never at the same place.
Where was it held? Out of curiosity, where was it held last year?
Why would you ask me that without prompting me before?
Yeah. Okay. How about sports for 100?
It was held at another church.
It was held at another church.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was held at St. Anselm's on 60th.
Oh, there you
sure.
go.
See? And that's where
you just needed 12 seconds.
Yeah.
To.
Yes.
And about how many people are you expecting coming up on February 9th, providing decent weather?
We expect anywhere from 100 to 200.
And I presume that Bishop Perry will lead the solemn vespers?
Bishop Perry, yes. Bishop Perry will be the presider, and for the first time we're having Dr. Dorothy Williams asked to be the reflectionist. We've never had a woman before, and we're very, very proud to have Dr. Dorothy Williams, PhD from Catholic Theological Union, to be our reflectionist, and she's a member at St. Anselm Parish.
Oh, she is a parishioner there. Do you know what she teaches at CTU?
Oh, well, no, she doesn't teach at CTU, but that's where she matriculated to get her PhD, so she's very versed in the Catholic faith.
Out of curiosity, Marcia, are you a lifelong Catholic?
Yes, I am. I don't remember when I was baptized because I must have been about 6 weeks old.
You know, that's something that a lot of people don't realize is that there are many members of the African-American community who are lifelong Catholics.
Yes, they are.
I think there's often a false assumption that most African-Americans must be converts. But actually, there are many African-Americans who are born into the faith and grow up into the faith and pass it on from generation to generation.
Yes, yes. I went all through Catholic schools.
Where'd you go to grammar school?
Holy Angels.
Oh, my Lord, yes.
Yes.
Oh,
and then I went to Loretto Academy for high school. And then I graduated from DePaul for undergrad and Loyola University for grad school.
Boy, you're really Catholic.
Yes.
All the way.
And the thing is, how did you get involved as one of the organizers of the Solemn Vespers? Did somebody tap you on the shoulder? Did you miss a meeting or something and they put you in charge of it?
Well, what happened was Bishop Perry wanted to start this particular group, a liturgy group to support black Catholics. And I graduated from CTU with a certificate in Word and Worship. So he just happened to say, you know, I want you to start this group. And I said, oh, well, that's wonderful. I would love to do that because liturgy is something I truly love and have always loved. And so I said,
you know, what I have found so many times in people's lives, in the work they presently do or involved in parish in some area of it, in some ways it many times happens by invitation and by accident. So if I were to ask any listener, in over the last 10 years, if you thought your life would have evolved this way or the things you're involved with, they say absolutely not. And I find that the more we let the Lord surprise us and to be open to the gift of the Spirit in so many ways, and we realize we're not in control, wonderful things happen.
Yes.
In our lives. But there's a sense of surrender, trust, and letting go, which is never easy for any of us.
Well, you know, I have a quick story about that. I'm a music teacher by trade, and I just happened to get involved with a liturgy committee, and they said, well, we want you to find a place to give a conference. And I called St. Philip Neri, and he said, well, you sound very versed in what you're doing. Would you like to come and be a coordinator of religious education? And it's just like something opened inside of me and said, yes, I would love to do that. I don't know how. He said, well, find a school. And I found CTU, and it just evolved from there.
No, that's a great story.
Yes.
That is a great story.
And I've been so happy with my second vocation.
Marcia, I'm delighted to see that you're helping to introduce people to the Liturgy of the Hours by choosing Vespers as your prayer form. You know, Vespers is a way of sanctifying the day, you know, gathering as the daylight ends to praise God and to sanctify. And that's what Liturgy of the Hours does. It sanctifies all the hours of the day and makes us aware that every hour is holy because God is present in all those hours. So we certainly wish you well in this liturgical celebration.
We need to bring the program to a close again on Monday, February 9th at 7 p.m., Solemn Vesper Service at St. Jude Thaddeus Church in Chicago.
On 96 in Harvard.
96 in Harvard, and thank you to Marcia Berry for being a guest. Thank you also to co-host Graziano Marcheschi, to our producer Jim Dish, to our engineer Brian Hitman Hockey Brock, to our listeners, God bless, have a wonderful weekend.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.